Hello and welcome to Synopsis, your weekly roundup of news and analysis from OMFIF around the world, coming to you from OMFIF headquarters here in the City of London. I'm Julian Fraser. Today we're discussing UK-EU cooperation on financial regulation after Brexit, conflicting forces of opinion at the Federal Reserve, and Gerard Lyon's candidacy for Governor of the Bank of England. All that, and more besides, coming up next. And welcome to this week's edition of Synopsis. Relations between the UK and the rest of Europe in the economic and financial sphere go back a lot further than UK membership of the European Community in 1973, and will extend far into the future after the British depart, as our chairman David Marsh wrote for the OMFIF website this week. One field for cooperation that is vital for both sides is in financial regulation across and beyond the EU. There is joint interest in maintaining channels for cross-border trade and investment for sustainable and inclusive European growth. The UK wishes to understand, influence if possible, and maintain robust links to the European Capital Markets Union project aimed at improving access to growth finance for larger and smaller companies. This is a field where the City of London believes it has considerable expertise to apply post-Brexit. British claims that joint action to improve capital market performance and mitigate risks will bolster stability and prosperity across Europe. In seeking to maintain two-way access across all sectors in Britain and the rest of Europe, UK regulators and market participants make the point that markets are global and not simply European. And despite President Donald Trump's go-it-alone tendencies, regulators and their political masters around the world generally are committed to a multilateral approach guided by shared values and common challenges. There is much that the UK and the rest of Europe can and will do together. The task will be, assuming departure takes place on or shortly after the 31st of October, to get on with it. Staying on the subject of policymaking, OMFIF research assistant Chris Papadopoulos wrote about what an unconventional candidate could bring to the Bank of England after Governor Mark Carney steps down from his post next year, though it has also been floated of late that appointing Carney's replacement could be postponed in the light of a possible UK general election, and that the Governor may be asked to stay for at least a while longer in the event that Brexit is again delayed. Whatever may prove to be the case in Westminster, a cadre of contenders for the Governor's office is already being considered. One of the names included on the long list was that of Gerard Lyons, who served as Boris Johnson's chief economic adviser when the Prime Minister was Mayor of London, and was previously chief economist at Standard Chartered. Though a more conventional nominee with deeper central banking or regulatory experience may ultimately win the bank position, Lyons' inclusion in the discussion is an encouraging sign for non-traditional candidates. Christine Lagarde's nomination to become president of the European Central Bank is another indication that unconventional governors seem to be in vogue. If he got the job, Lyons would promote diversity in economic thinking. In the 1970s and early 1980s, the bank was home to both Charles Goodhart, a leading monetary economist, and Christopher Dow, a top Keynesian and monetary skeptic. They viewed the economy very differently, but a governor could be sure of hearing a range of opinion, with all bases covered. Such fundamental divides have gone from the bank, and reviving them could have tangible policy results. Governors must be competent bankers and managers. Economists can always advise behind the scenes. As Cameron Cobbold, governor between 1949 and 1961, once said, and was as oft repeated to new recruits in the post-war era, the Bank of England must be a bank and not a study group. The prime requirement must be operational competence. This lesson was relearned the hard way during and in the aftershock of the 2008 financial crisis. Pundits called the bank over-academic under Mervyn King and criticised it for being unprepared for the crisis. In its aftermath, the bank set up the Financial Policy Committee in 2010 and then formed the Prudential Regulatory Authority 3 years later. In the light of its renewed focus on financial markets, pure economists, whose mould Gerard Lyons with his litany of private sector financial expertise does not necessarily fit, might be thought of as underqualified to lead the Bank of England. Turning away from Europe and the UK to the other side of the pond, OMFIF US Chairman Mark Sobel wrote for us about the differences in opinion among policymakers at the Federal Reserve in the run-up to this week's Federal Open Market Committee meeting. The US economy was long expected to slow toward potential this year, and indeed it has, but is still holding up relatively well and sustaining activity far better than abroad. Consumption accounts for 70% of US economic activity and is being propelled by solid disposable income gains reflecting continued low unemployment, well below most estimates of the natural rate. Even in the face of a more modest pace of disposable income gains, consumption could be cushioned by reduced personal saving. Inflation measures are generally consistent with the Fed's 2% objective. While the central bank's preferred core consumer price index measure is somewhat below 2% on a year-over-year basis, recent months on an annualized basis are slightly above 2%. With unemployment below its natural rate and inflation generally in line with the Fed objective, the central bank is meeting its dual mandate. Analysts question how impactful monetary policy actions are as the zero lower bound is approached, and want to retain bullets for any recession. Some ask whether low rates may contribute to potentially harmful froth in markets. The case for vigorous monetary accommodation is also clear. Monetary policy must be conducted in a forward-looking manner, but it is impossible to know definitively what the future holds. Reiteration by the FOMC about a, quote, mid-cycle adjustment could be interpreted as a hawkish signal and upset current market expectations. Rhetoric pointing to large global risks and uncertainties and the need for insurance to guard against a downturn might validate the market's outlook. If the FOMC goes down this latter path, rather than simply reciting these risks, it should clarify far more transparently and in detail how much weakening it foresees in its outlook, and how impactful trade and global uncertainties are for the relatively closed US economy. Beyond our written output, in a podcast release earlier this week, OnFIF's Ellie Groves spoke with Willem Buter, Special Economic Advisor at Citi. They discussed the implications of a euro area slowdown at a time of high public debt and the most recent pronouncements of the European Central Bank. You can listen to their conversation on the OnFIF website or wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, OnFIF is hosting a pair of high-level meetings, the first in Norway and the second here in the UK. On Tuesday, September 24th in Oslo, we are convening our latest asset and risk management seminar, a joint event with Norges Bank on public sector investment. The day after features our London Digital Finance Forum, focusing on distributed ledger technology and potential digital currency scenarios. Speakers include senior representatives from the Bank of England, Banque de France, Deutsche Bundesbank and International Monetary Fund, as well as experts in digital finance from ING Group. Details of all meetings can be found on the OnFIF website, and links to the relevant pages are also included in the description of this podcast. Next week also sees a dozen central banks convening to discuss the next steps in their country's monetary policy. The large economies to be represented by policymakers will be those of Nigeria, Thailand, and Mexico. And that is all that we have time for in this week's edition of the OnFIF Synopsis. To read in greater detail about what we've discussed, visit www.onfif.org. And if you'd like to receive our editorial output and details about forthcoming meetings with policymakers around the world, sign up at onfif.org/subscribe. And as ever, do feel free to email any questions you might have for me and my colleagues at analysis@onfif.org. I'm Julian Fraser. Thank you for listening.